from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We are live from the Legacy Club here at MetLife Stadium for the Giants Fan Fest, and we are now joined by a very popular reality TV star. I think we can add that title to him. He's also the owner, executive vice president, chief operating officer, Mr. John Mara. Mr. Mara, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks. It's great to be here. I think you screwed up my titles a little bit. But
what is your title? We always call you the owner. Like, what is the official title?
President and CEO.
President and CEO.
I'm just happy to be here.
Well, thank you. Did you like the title of reality TV star?
No, I didn't like that one at all.
But you were good at it. You came off all right.
I don't know about that. Yeah. You should see the stuff we edited out of there.
Now I'm curious, what is the juiciest thing you edited out?
We're not going to go into that.
Just tell us. It's all good.
What made you, because we all loved it. I got to tell you, it was great stuff. It was great TV. What made you decide, you know what, this is good to be a part of Hard Knocks?
Well, there were a few things. You know, obviously, that's our 100th season coming up, and Hard Knocks had never done anything, in the off season. And originally, the concept was, to follow our scouts and personnel people around. It wasn't going to be called Hard Knocks, and the people from NFL Films approached us and said, you know, Hard Knocks has such a brand name and a brand identity. We really like to call it that. And several meetings later, I relented and finally agreed to it. And I was pleased with the way it came out. There were some uncomfortable moments in there, obviously. But all in all, it was a very honest look at what goes on in the off season in terms of the scouting and making decisions in free agency and the draft. And, what you saw is really the way it is.
You know, John, I think there are two things that were lasting for people watching Hard Knocks. One was the Saquon Barkley decision, situation, and you said it kind of like I said it. You don't want him to see him in Philly, and he ends up in Philly. And the second one was the potential of moving on from Daniel Jones, and I think that still persists a little bit. What is the mindset right now about your quarterback?
I think we all feel really good about Daniel. I think we have a better team around him this year. He's healthy. He's looking really good in practice, moving around really well. And we're excited about this season. Everybody out there has been killing him all year. And when you look at what happened last year, you know, he got hurt. The offensive line got hurt. Mm-hmm. We had trouble blocking anybody. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. So I think we're due for some good luck, to be honest with you.
Well, it feels like it.
And, you know, you can't have a better, young man in your organization. Nobody works harder than him. Nobody's more popular in that locker room than he is. So we expect really good things for him this year.
I think he's been the leader for a long time. And people outside the organization don't know that. But even when Jason Garrett was here and I did his camp down in Princeton, he told me the exact same thing. He works the hardest. He's there first. He stays the longest. And I think with all of the talent you guys have focused on putting around him, there's the expectation internally is much greater than I think the expectation externally.
I think that's right. I mean, he played really well for us in 2022. And despite the fact that we, as I've said many times and been quoted many times, we did everything possible prior to that to screw up his career by, and I take a lot of the blame for that, making changes in coaches all the time. That never helps a player develop. But I think we've got the right staff with him right now. And as I said before, if he can stay healthy, I think, he's poised to have a very good year and surprise a lot of people.
John, you made sure to tell the world on Hard Knocks Saquon was the team's most popular player. I got to tell you, as a Giant fan now, all we could do is drool over Malik Nabers. Do you fully expect him to slide in and kind of take that mantle from Saquon?
Yeah, I hate to put that kind of pressure on him. But I mean, I hated losing Saquon because not only was he a great player for us, but he was a great representative for us off the field, too. He was really everything you want in a player. But I understood the decision, and I've always felt that you know, you have to let the general manager and the head coach do their jobs. And I understood that we had other needs that we had to fill. And, you know, getting Malik Nabers, I think, will really help our offense. He does have a unique skill set, and it's exciting just watching him in practice. And looking forward to seeing him on Sunday.
I got to call a timeout real quick. You are not allowed to call him John. You have to call him Mr. Mara.
No, that's not true.
You have to call him Mr.
Mara. Hey, Dickie, my father was Mr. Mara.
I know that, but he has to call you Mr.
Mara. Sorry, Mr. Mara.
Thank you. You're embarrassing me, John. I bring you to something nice, you get all churched up, and then you embarrass me.
I looked the part.
I know you did.
I was embarrassed for you. Mr. Mara, here's what I'm curious about.
Thank you, Evan.
I would be, as a diehard sports fan of my teams, a terrible owner. Because I would basically tell my general manager, I want this guy back, go make it happen. How do you balance being a guy who loves your football team, has opinions, because you do, but not forcing your general manager to do something you want that maybe he doesn't?
It's a difficult line sometimes. It really is, because I certainly wanted him back. But, you know, unless it's a conduct issue, I'm never going to say, no, you know, you have to sign this guy, or no, you can't sign that guy. That's the only time I'm going to get involved. Now, I'll give my opinion, but, you know, we pay these guys a lot of money, and I have a lot of respect for the amount of work that they put in. I mean, there's no harder working staff that I've ever seen than Joe Shane and the people that work with him. And at the end of the day, you have to let them make the decisions. I mean, that's why they've been hired.
Yeah, I don't want this to get hard-hitting, so I want to bring it back to what we're here for.
This is hard-hitting?
No, but I can tell where Evan wants to go.
Where am I going?
He's a Jet fan.
You know where I'm going next?
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. Talk about the Giant 100 season. This season, it's shaping up to be interesting on the field, but it's all of this other stuff that's happening. It's why we're here broadcasting from the Legacy Club. All the legends, at least the living ones, and even the ones that have passed, their families are coming in for this weekend. I mean, how special is this? And it's a testament to the resiliency and the history of this great organization.
No, it's a great celebration for us. Just standing out there and welcoming all the people as they're walking in and seeing a lot of familiar faces, mm-hmm. And then seeing the families of players that have passed on. You know, it's an honor for me to be here and to be able to welcome them. And, you know, they're the reason that you know, we have the history that we have and the popularity that we have, and that whatever success we've had is due to the people that are walking through that door and their families. And so it is very special for us. You know, we've had a lot of great years, a lot of not so great years, but, you know, not a lot of franchises can say that they're starting their 100th season.
Who was your favorite over the years, going back to when you were a kid?
Is he expecting me to pick him?
Yes. Yeah.
No, you don't have to pick me. I didn't win you a championship, John. But who was your favorite?
You know, for me as a kid, my first hero was Frank Gifford, for sure. He was you know, such a great player for us and such a personality, and you know, number 16, and he was somebody that everybody just gravitated towards. And there were a lot of guys since then, guys like Spider Lockhart and Tucker Fredrickson and people like that. You know, as a kid, you know, you're really in awe of a lot of these guys. But, you know, Emlyn Tennell, for me, I never saw him as a player, but he was a coach and a scout for us. It was probably, might have been my all-time favorite, just because of what a great person he was, and great player, and war hero. He was everything. And you know, that's why I have his portrait hanging outside of my office. But a lot of great players have passed through these doors, and a lot of great great men as well.
I've noticed, and we've had fun with this, that there are legendary Giants, people who are part of the organization, who...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Love this franchise. I always play this clip of Bill Belichick where he says Giants and he's like crying. He loves this giant organization. Yeah. Could you see a scenario now that he's no longer with New England where he ever comes back to the Giant family? As part
I have a head coach that I'm very happy with. I'm not going down there.
I wasn't saying that.
I keep reading that he's waiting in the wings, but you know, we're very happy.
You see why I tried to derail him, John? You see why I tried to turn the corner?
Hold on a second. In fairness.
He's a Jet fan.
I said no.
And he's scarred because of Bill Belichick. You understand that, right?
I didn't say the head coaching job. I said just being a part of the organization. He's a brilliant
guy. Is a part of the organization.
His history is here.
He won two Super Bowls here as a defensive coordinator.
I get that. I'm saying coming back into the family. That's all I was asking.
You know there's a saying, right?
He never left the family.
Once a Giant, always a Giant.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He never left the family, but, you know, that's another question for another day. But I'm very happy with who we have right now.
Now, Mr. Mara, one Giant legend I didn't know nearly enough was Ray Flaherty, and I got to know all about his history because of what happened last week. I personally, as a young fan, love that the number was unretired because it got to teach me about Ray Flaherty. Is that a very unique situation, or do you think that's something that could exist down the line more?
It was a very unique situation. It's the first time we've ever done that. In fact, Ray Flaherty Jr. happens to be here. I just met him for the first time a few minutes ago.
Oh, wow.
And he came in, and the first thing he said to me was, "You were right." And I said, "Right about what?" And he said, "About this decision." What I said to him was, you ought to think about doing it because it will educate people and our fans out there who Ray Flaherty was. Nobody really knew who
he
was.
Right. Gonzaga.
Who number one was. And now people know that. And Malik Nabers was so happy to get that number and has promised us that he's going to do everything in his power to represent the Flaherty family and the organization well. And I think it was a good story for us. And the Flaherty family was happy. And we would not have done it unless we got their blessing.
Right.
How does a process like that start? Like, who asked who?
Did Malik want it?
He wanted it, and I think it was Joe Shane came to me and said, "Do you think there's any chance?" And I said, "You know what? Maybe let me talk to the Flaherty family, and if they're willing to do it, then okay. If they're not willing to do it, then we're not going to unretire it under any circumstances." And had a couple of conversations with Ray Jr., and they eventually agreed to do it. So I think it worked out well. And as I said, the best part of it is just educating people about their dad and who Ray Flaherty was.
Do you think that there's a chance you're going to reach out to your brothers across the river and in the Bronx and get them to unretire some of their numbers for some of their current stars? Because everybody is retired over there.
Yeah, we've retired so many numbers that it's very difficult. You see, you come to one of our preseason games, we have, I don't know how many players with double numbers on the field, and that's because we've retired just too many numbers. But, you know, they were all deserving. And, you know, when you're around for 100 years, you have a lot of great players.
We're talking to the owner, the president of the New York Football Giants, John Mara. Any interest in bringing the Super Bowl back to MetLife Stadium?
I think that's something we would be interested in. I've had some conversations over the years with Woody Johnson about that. It, you know, would take a lot of work. And we got the World Cup final coming here in 2026. At some point in the future, you know, the owners like to have the game played either in warm weather or, you know, in a dome. It was a tough sale last time to get them to agree to do it here. But it ended up working out well, except for the next day when we had that snowstorm.
That's right.
But I don't think it's out of the question that we could have another one.
Because I'd love to see it. And I know that owners feel that way. As a football fan, football's supposed to be played in the elements. Like, well, I mean, what's the big deal if it's 35 degrees and snowing?
That was our sales pitch
back then.
But
the fans,
you got to convince 24 owners to vote for you. So
basically you're telling me it's probably not going to happen. You're interested, but it's probably not going to happen.
I'm not sure about that. I wouldn't say it's at the top of our list of priorities, but it is an ongoing conversation. Let's put it that way.
How often do you communicate with the head coach, with Brian Daboll, with Joe Shane? Are you talking to them every day, every hour? Do you give them their space? Like, give me a kind of a feeling on the interactions between you and your guys.
I mean, I talk with Joe every day. Either I'll walk down to his office or I'll walk down to mine or I'll talk to him on the phone. With Brian, at least a couple times a week, usually right after practice, ask him how things are going. I rarely will go into his office and, you know, because he's always, you know, working, meeting with coaches, coming up with a game plan and whatnot. So I try to give him a little bit of space. But my communication is more often with Joe.
It's interesting because we did a piece on your father on Wellington, and I'm not sure when NFL Films is coming out with that. But he was always at practice. He was always sitting there with his chair, and you felt his presence. It's different now. because you can just sit in your office and see practice. It wasn't the dungeon that was the old Giant Stadium. Everything was underground. So you had to actually go out and do it. How into what's happening on the field on a daily basis are you?
I like to go out and watch practice just to see what we're doing, you know, whether we're moving guys to different positions, what the game plan looks like for the week, who looks like they're healthy, who looks like they're not going to make it, just to have a feel for what's going on. But I certainly don't try to influence any of that at all. But I do like to be out there. I like the players to see me out there so that they know I am interested in what's going on. And it's a great way to just kind of evaluate your coaches too.
Yeah,
you know, who are the teachers? Who are the guys that you really need to keep an eye on?
Right. Does that matter to you how your coaches are teaching? Because I think it matters how coaches. We were having this conversation about Sam Darnold and how he was basically failed in the entire path of his career, maybe until this year. And you mentioned it even changing coaches, changing coordinators. It's hardest on quarterbacks, but you as an owner, you have to look at how people teach. Right, it matters because success and failure can be kind of indicated by how guys are being taught.
Yeah, no question. It's the ability to teach and the ability to communicate and the ability to lead. And I think I feel very confident that Brian Daboll has all those qualities, and that's why I'm excited about him as our head coach.
What is a good season in your mind?
I'm not kidding. I want to feel like when I walk off the field after the last game that, man, we really made some progress this year. We are headed in the right direction. So I'm not going to say that we need to win, you know, 9 games or 10 games or whatever. Just allow me to feel, allow our fans to feel like our future is bright. We are headed in the right direction, and that can take a lot of different
forms. The in the hunt graphic, that's what I like to say. If you're in the hunt graphic
yeah.
in December, like, all right, you've had yourself a season, right?
I mean, my father used to kind of feel like at a bare minimum, you wanted to be playing meaningful games in December, late in December. And you know, that's kind of a minimum standard right there. I just want to feel like we've improved the team, and we have a chance with this group to get to the next level.
It feels like each of the last 2 years, the tone was set for better or for worse in week one. Last year, obviously, with Dallas, week one, the crazy win versus Tennessee. Do you feel like that kind of is the pressure here versus Minnesota on Sunday?
I mean, I feel that. I'm still scarred by that opening game last year, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming at all, and that really kind of set the tone for the rest of the season. I know it's a long season. There's 17 games. That one game shouldn't make a difference, but, you know, we lost our left tackle for a long period of time during that stretch, and a few other guys got hurt that night as well, so it really ended up setting the tone, I think, for the rest of the season. So, I feel some pressure going into this game, and with the celebration that we have this weekend and everything, you certainly want to win the game and give something to the fans.
I hope you don't take this as an insult, what I'm about to say.
I'm sure I will, but that's okay.
I warned you.
No, okay. Maybe you won't take it as an insult. I've always felt from afar, as an owner, you remind me of myself. In that,
I do take that.
News.
I mean, my God,
I take it. Here's my stereotype of you, Mr. John Mara. During games, you get pissed, you get angry, you get excited. That's the kind of fan I am. Like, I'm cursing out my players, even if I love them, because, you know, I can't see that pick six by Zach Wilson. You know what I'm saying? So when you watch games, probably at home more than even here, where people can keep an eye on you, are you that kind of crazy fan the way I think you are?
Yeah.
I knew it.
You're me.
Just not as nerdy.
Yeah, I just, there are times where I do get upset during the game. Yeah, I can remember, you know, when my father was still alive, he would sit behind me, you know, on a high chair there, and there were times where his hand would go down on my shoulder and say, knock it off, you know, and, that usually worked when he did that, but he's no longer with us. So there are times. That's why I can't sit in the family suite or in the press box. I've got to kind of be quarantined.
Nice. You know, I think about some owners around the NFL, and it's a business for them. It's not family. This feels like family for you, and so you're not going anywhere anytime soon. Are you still loving this?
No, I do. I mean, I was thinking about that today. I love, you know, the Friday practice, the last real practice before the game, and seeing, you know, what we're doing, and you know, the lunch afterwards, and you know, talking to the head coach, and you know, it's exciting. It really is. It is still fun. It's not so much fun when you're losing, believe me, but you know, there's always hope, and I think with the group that we have now, there's a lot of reason for hope.
Mr. Maurer, we appreciate it. Thank you very much for coming out. Thank you for having us here.
Thanks very much. Appreciate you guys.
There he is, the owner of the New York Football Giants, John Maurer. We are live from the Legacy Club here at MetLife Stadium. It's a big Giants fan fest. It's a festival. It's a party because 100 seasons of New York Giant football is pretty impressive. It's been a very, very long run. Thank you very much, sir. Very much appreciated. Evan and Tiki, we are live here. Commercial free, believe it or not, until 7 o'clock. So we appreciate getting that opportunity to be here at MetLife Stadium at this beautiful club that features like all the great history of the New York Giants. And speaking of the great history of the New York Football Giants, a man who you watched win Super Bowls, a man who you may have heard with me and Joe for like 15 years. That's right, the man, the killer, Carl Banks. Carl, good to see you. It feels like it's a Monday or Friday with Beningo when I see you. How you been, man? How's it going?
I am awesome.
Looking good.
I'm hot.
You're hot.
But I did the thing that Tiki Barber would do if he wasn't on radio.
What was that?
Go down there and touch the fans, sign autographs, take pictures.
That's right. That's what he does.
It was so hot, it was sweating down.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.